Blog Talk Radio.
Flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I'm your host. We'll be joined here by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. You can find that right here at Blog Talk Radio, Sunday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. And I join Lori Ann in the respective co-host chair on those nights, and it's always great. It's a nice conservative, libertarian, nationalist show, you know. And we cover a lot of current events and things that, you know, similar to what we do here, but a little bit different. So it's worth the listen. Like I said, the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show right here, Blog Talk Radio, Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. So we do have a great show lined up for you. While Lori Ann and I get settled into our respective studio seats here in different states, it's always interesting. Anyway, so I've got a nice song for you. I've got Hadley Park, another bottle of wine, and we're going to jump right into it after that song. So go do whatever you got to do and hurry back, because it's going to be a jam-packed show. Here we go. It's Friday night.
Well, I could tell you about him cheating and how I stood there while she was screaming out his name beneath my Egyptian cotton sheets. And I could tell you she's much younger and how she lies and tells him he's a good lover. How a dolphin on her back looks more like a manatee. Oh, I'd be happy to share all the gory details. Oh, but that's another I got the Pinot.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
We're being corralled into this box where we either have to hate Vladimir Putin and believe everything evil that's said about him and love Ukraine, and there's no in between. And that reminds me a lot of you're either a white supremacist or you go with the Democrat narrative on everything under the sun.
The most lethal terrorist threat to the homeland today, white supremacy.
And I want to understand white rage, and I'm white.
I mean, there's as much interference here as you could possibly imagine. Before even get to Hunter Biden, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, Mitt Romney, and all of their children who earn millions from Ukrainian gas companies. These days, it's hard to believe anything because they've lied about COVID, they lied about Russia collusion, they lied about the Ukraine impeachment trial, and there's so much more going on in Ukraine that nobody is talking about.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
My job as a journalist is to try to understand what is the truth here. I don't like being lied to, and we're being lied to on an epic scale. When we're told your only choice is you have to be 100% with Zelensky. Slava Ukraina! Who's a puppet who you can find on the internet in black stilettos and leather pants. Zelensky was selected, like so many of our leaders. And honestly, with big tech and with election fraud these days, we don't know how many leaders all around the world have been selected for it and weren't actually voted in.
How to build back better.
We have to build back better.
Build back better.
If Donald Trump gets the Republican nomination, there are many of us that will move heaven and earth to ensure he doesn't win.
We are fighting the same battles all over the world. To pretend that this war is about Russia and Ukraine is a bare-faced lie.
Yeah.
Putin has been warning for 15 years that he is not going to stand by while the globalists take over the world, build bioweapons facilities and whatever else they're doing in Ukraine. Ukraine has been a center of money laundering for many of the leaders in this country. Billions of U.S. dollars have been laundered through Ukraine, and we say nothing about it. Does nobody question these things? We have an idiot, like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Mr. Vindman.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Do you always insist on civilians calling you by your rank?
And sits there as a lieutenant colonel. He didn't even make colonel. And he's telling the president of the United States what his policy should be. You have a traitor in the form of Maria Yovanovitch, who was Obama's ambassador, who's telling Ukrainian government officials, don't listen to the will of the American people.
In his July 25th phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky, the president badmouthed Yovanovitch, calling her bad news.
I was shocked. Absolutely shocked.
And then she's given a cushy job for life at Georgetown University. And we're told that the President of the United States cannot say to his foreign counterparts that we want you to look into something.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. And they put in place someone who was solid.
So much hypocrisy and dishonesty here. And Ukraine is at the center of it all.
And you are back with the Alaska Patriot Network. We're so glad you found us. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to be joined here by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show here very shortly. We're going to bring her in. And if you would like to join the show and call in for the live broadcast, the number is 515-602-9722. Press number 1. That raises your hand in the studio and lets us know that you want to talk. So the number is 515-602-9722. Press number 1. And we got a great lineup for you. Before we start the show, I'd like to give a shout out to all of our active duty and our veterans. Thank you for your service and your sacrifices to this country. Without those sacrifices, our freedoms would not be what they are today and probably wouldn't be able to do this broadcast. I don't know how much longer we're going to have these freedoms, but if we don't collectively stand up and push back, none of us are going to be speaking freely. So that's kind of, you know, the direction we're going. So before I bring Lori Ann in, we're going to run through real quick. Tonight we're going to talk about it's Women's History Month or whatever, you know. It has lost all of its, like, oh, yay, it's a celebration of women. So we'll talk about why women are not being celebrated so much. We touched base on some of it last week, but things just progressed, you know, with the illegitimate first lady and stuff presenting international awards. So we can't let that not, you know, be discussed. And then we have some other great stuff we're going to talk about tonight. We've got escalation with China. We've got escalation with Mexico. Canada's doing their thing. So we're going to, so much to talk about. So we're just going to go ahead and bring Lori Ann in and get going with this show, because that's the only way we can do it. Welcome in, Lori Ann.
Well, hello, hello. How are you? Happy Friday. You took a little trip to Sitka. You're seeing stuff and taking some time out to do the show tonight, which I appreciate. So, always love having you on. And, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Got you, girl.
Yeah, it's not Friday night without a show. And it is spring break. We're midwinter break for a lot of families out there with school age kids. And yeah, so it's been a busy last couple days. I came in from the island and to another island, but this one actually has grocery stores and restaurants. So it feels a little more civilized.
Oh, the luxury. The luxury that you've gotten used to being without, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting pretty proficient on heating up meals on top of a wood stove on the cabin, wood stove while I am working on my new house. So, yeah, it's been an interesting thing. And, you know, it is, you know, like we were saying, we're celebrating women this month. And I have to say, I've done a lot of complaining and I've felt overwhelmed many times, but to be overseeing this project and seeing it through in the dead of winter, it feels very accomplishing and very empowering. And even if I'm out there chopping wood in a blizzard, I'm like, damn, I bet, you know, Dylan Mulvaney couldn't do this. Or Pocket Barbie or whatever he calls himself.
Pocket Barbie. No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are definitely the definition of an independent, strong woman. That is for sure.
Yeah. So, so we've got a great show, and we had last week we had discussed some of the obstacles that today's women are facing. And the more we talked about it, the more revealing it was that we have, like, we've gone back to an unprecedented time. I don't know if there's ever been a time in written history where women have been canceled like we have been. Like, I know, you know, like in theater, like Roman theater and Greek theater, you know, men would dress like women and play the part, you know, and that historically has been done, and that has nothing to do with real life. But now, today's woman, I mean, we've gone from, you know, working outside the home and having autonomy over our bodies and able to vote and own businesses and divorce at will here in the United States or whatever you want to do, you know, all these rights and some protected class in the employment sector. But now women are finding themselves in an unprotected, like an unprecedented situation where now to get hired because of equity and whatnot, not only do you have to be qualified, but you're going to be last on the list if you're not trans, non-binary, pansexual, or a person of color. And I hate to say that, or a man. You are the least desirable employee perspective. I mean, Lorianne, what do you think about that? I mean, am I off base?
No, not at all. You know, our good friend B, she posted a tweet the other day saying, we're going to need an international men's day pretty soon because, you know, especially an international white man. it's being white all of a sudden is such a bad thing, especially if you happen to be a male, you know, then you're just plain evil. And so, you know, it's like, there's so much cancel culture going on that it's like eventually it's going to cancel each other out, don't you think? I mean, but for women, you know, it's really true. We are attacked at every corner, you know, and as if women historically haven't had enough struggle to gain an inch in our liberties, our legal rights, our voting rights, everything else, as if we haven't had enough to battle with. Now we have biological men that transition to be a woman, call themselves a woman, and infiltrate every single thing that real women have been fighting for. You know, I saw this meme and I got a chuckle out of it, about, you know, if you're a man and you're a wimp and you suck at sports, just go get a sex change and you can suddenly become a winner. You know, it's like, and I'm like, that's so true.
Was it
you suck at everything. You suck at being a man. But then you're probably going to suck at being a woman too. Yeah, go ahead.
Was it the Homer Simpson one?
Yes. That Homer Simpson meme.
As a woman. When you suck at everything, he disappears. I saw that one too. Got a good chuckle out of it. I really did.
I know.
We already have a caller. We have Pionki who is holding, and I'm going to go ahead and bring Pionki in to see if he has something to chime in on this topic, because I'm sure he does.
Oh, I'm sure.
Welcome
in,
Pionki.
Hello, everyone. I'm sitting here with my hand warmers, and my big boots, and my earmuffs, sitting here looking like an Alaskan patriot, all ready for the cold weather. How you guys doing? How you doing,
oh,
Dahl and Lori?
We're good. I'm
good. I'm doing pretty well. Good to hear from you, Pianki. Are you feeling better? Are you finally kicking whatever bug it is that you had?
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. And McCall finally says society, I guess, 96%, so I'm doing very well.
That's good news.
Very good.
That's very good.
Yay!
News. Yeah. It's,
you
yeah,
definitely
we
sound a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Last time it was pretty rough.
So what are you guys talking about? You know, I'm going to tell you something. The only one thing that kind of disappoints me is I don't hear young people involved in the conversations. We got to figure out how to get these young people involved in these conversations. I try my best when I go
I
to
agree.
When I go to a store or a restaurant, I ask the attendant, I say, "You still in school?" And they say yes or no. I ask what majors, what are you majoring in? Then I ask them about the country and what's going on. I ask them about convention of states and tell them they need to get involved so they know what's happening. And they're pretty receptive, believe it or not.
As they should be. You know, if they don't get involved now, they're not going to have anything to go to when they graduate.
Yeah, that's right. And your enemy won't be afeared if they see a whole bunch of bingo players come walking up in the room, or walkers and that. They don't fear that. But they fear them young ones that come walking in up on their toes, bouncing and asking questions and expecting answers.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting because my youngest, who's 15, is on fire. I mean, this kid's been, maybe it's because he was the last one home alone, so the primary conversation in our house is, you know, usually politics and
mm-hmm.
what's going on in the world and whatnot, because, I mean, it affects business and how and where we live and what we do next. And I'm always proactive. I don't want to rely on the government ever, and nobody should. And I think he's learned that, but he's very opinionated, and he's the one that, during the scamdemic, who would go to every school board meeting and give them statistics and his personal opinion about the masks and, you know, this is scientific, you know, fact and graphs and drawings and charts and everything. And he's like, okay, well, they may never lift it, but at least I was there and I tried. So, but, you know, he doesn't have anybody at school that's interested in it at all. At all.
Well, you know, Lori just posted this deal about Columbia University. I want her to explain what she thinks about this. They're permanently dropping college entrance exams, SAT, ACT.
Yeah,
you there,
I just noticed this. Yeah, I saw this earlier, and I was like, here we go, more dumbing down of our schools. Columbia University will no longer require undergraduate applicants to submit their SAT or ACT standardized test scores, becoming the first Ivy League school to permanently go test optional. This announcement just came in on Wednesday. Quote, our review is purposeful and nuanced, respecting varied backgrounds, voices, and experiences in order to best determine an applicant's suitability for admission and ability to thrive in our curriculum and our community and to advance access to our educational opportunities, the announcement said. Gee, I wonder what they mean by that, you know? by respecting varied backgrounds, voices, and experiences. That should give you a clue right there as what their motivation is behind that decision. Of course, you know, the article goes on. So you can just look it up. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Columbia University dropping the SAT-ACT test requirements, and you can read all about it. Dumb everybody down.
Well, how do you go about determining whether or not a applicant has the ability to do the work on the college pursuit that they are seeking? I mean, some college pursuits,
I have no
your
idea.
First semester, they require math subjects like calculus, for instance, Calc 1, Calc 2. So how do you determine if you do not test? You know, it seemed to me like they're really doing these people a disservice because they're going to pay to take up a course, and the course load is going to have subject matter that they are not qualified to even pass. Therefore, that means that they're going to have to take the course over, thus spending extra money. So wouldn't it be logical to test them on their ability? And if they don't have the ability, then assign them remedial courses that would bring them up to where they should be.
That's well, of course,
view.
That's going to
yeah,
make them more money by doing that. You know, so by not requiring it, then, oh, you're behind in this subject and this subject. That's a prerequisite for whatever your major is. Oh, well, now you can take additional classes, and that's going to be, you know, how many, you know, hundreds of dollars per credit. So, you know, that's going to be more profit for the school and more student loans taken out and all that.
And who would hire somebody?
I wonder how many Portland, Oregon graduates are going to start funneling their way over to Columbia because math reading was dropped as high school graduation requirements. So now Columbia University is the perfect place for them to go.
Yeah, you're right. I heard that your governor eliminated math as a requirement for graduating.
Yeah, it's racist.
Exactly.
Math is
racist.
Yep, it's racist.
Honest to goodness, y'all, tell the truth. Where in the heck do these people come from? I mean, where?
No, seriously, though.
What window? What window did they crawl in? Who left the window open?
Close
the window, doll.
I know. It's horrible. You know, this is a generation of kids that, like, they have kindergarten graduation. And, all right, so I may not be the mother of the year, but when my kids were in school, not being homeschooled or whatever alternative we were doing at the time, we didn't participate in that. I said, they'll graduate when they're seniors. They'll graduate once. We're not doing first grade graduation. If they don't graduate, if they don't pass, so I'll crack their butts.
So
you bring up a good point because now it's like they got kindergarten graduation and then you have, elementary school graduation, junior high graduation. It's like, how many graduations are we going to actually
have? It's every year, Lorianne. Every year.
You didn't get your little boy a tuxedo and rent a limousine?
Oh, hell to the no. We stayed home and had meatloaf and mashed potatoes. No. No, but seriously, we never participated in any of that. And their teachers would say, but they made special art. And I'm like, you know, the kid's like 5 years old. This is ridiculous. What's his greatest achievement? You know, making it through the day without, I don't know, doing something naughty or you know, having an accident, I don't know, or falling asleep at nap time, or, you know, his normal old nap time or something. Yeah, no, kindergarten is in first grade and second grade and even junior high. It's just, and everybody, even the little turkeys that don't deserve it, get, you know, a graduation plaque. And that everybody gets a trophy. So ridiculous. You know, and
it really is.
My view.
It really is. It has gotten so ridiculous. Participation trophies for, you know, it's like, again, it's dumbing down. It's not awarding people for doing something extraordinary or special or, you know, ahead of their peers and, you know, a reward system for that. No. Now, you know, you get rewarded for normalcy. You get awarded, you know, an award just for doing what's expected. And so what are these kids going to be like when they go into the job market later? You know, are they going to whine to their bosses every time they're not, you know, given, like, you know, kudos on the company website for, you know, just doing their most basic job? You know, they're going to expect extra credits just for doing, you know, an average job? I mean, is that what their expectation is going to be? Well, if so, they're going to be very, very disappointed. They're going to have some serious issues keeping the job if they expect to be rewarded for every single normal thing that they do. You know, you checked all the boxes in your job description and you did that for the past week, you know. Congratulations. Let's, you know, have a party for you. Like, what? That's what we're getting at.
I wonder if people really know how things work. You know, if you're a contractor and you're bidding to do a project, your cost that you are awarded the project is based on you getting the job done on time and under budget. Now, I wonder if these people think that these companies have an unlimited amount of money that they can spend like the federal government. I wonder if they think that if they are working on a particular portion of their job, a particular procedure, that the contractor figured it would take 2 man-hours to do, and they into their third day doing it. I wonder how do they think that this person is going to get paid? You can't go back and say, well, one of my workers came out of the era where they didn't have to take an ACT, SAT test to demonstrate their proficiency, and now he's working on, for me, taking 3 days to do something he should have only been able to do in 2 hours. So what am I going to do with it? I mean, are you going to give me extra money to make up for his extra time he's taking of inefficiency because of his inefficiency? I wonder if they understand how all this stuff works.
They don't. It's,
you know, that's a really
signaling.
Good question. Exactly. And, well, you know, that's even if these people can be placed in the real world job market. Because as a, like, for example, we won't just use contracting, you know, but that's a great example where these people, they can't just, you know, nobody's going to hire somebody to do an infrastructure job based on the color of their skin or their gender or whatever, so that they can check mark all these. And it's a good example. Wasn't it Delta that was hiring, we're going to hire pilots of color. And and we're going to, you know, flood our market with. And it wasn't, we're going to hire people based on their flying experience. We're going to hire them based on their color. And that is just, it's not right. It's not right. I'm not saying that people of color don't have the experience to fly a jet. There's lots of people of color that can do that. That's not what we're debating here. But for a company to go, we're only going to hire people of color now to fly our jets. So what, Asians or Indians or white people are not as good? So if I see a Asian, Indian, or a white person in the cockpit, should I be concerned? just asking for a friend, you know. So where are these people going to have? This equity doesn't, you know, allow you to design a highway project or a bridge or dredge a harbor or anything. Only true experience, you know, knowledge and education experience can help you achieve those things.
Exactly. You know, promoting based on color, promoting based on
gender.
And gender, you know, ahead of people with more experience, people that have excelled in what they do, you know, it's totally wrong. And, you know, and I don't think that this is a bar that the people they're targeting really want. You know, lower the bar for me so that I can excel ahead of everybody else when I don't really deserve it, you know. Like I said, it's like this participation trophy, you know, just for doing a mediocre job, you know, feeding this reward me just for doing a mediocre normal job and not actually excelling at what I do. And, you know, do it, you know, you're going to reward me for being black or being trans or, you know, being LGBTQ plus whatever. It's creating a future job force that is going to be our demise. You know, we're already going down the wrong path, you know, long before this, and it's not going to make the workforce and our infrastructure and our energy needs and our farming needs and everything else any better. You know, I don't see it. I don't see how this country is going to improve in all of the areas that it needs to improve by having these policies.
Well, I see where the Biden administration was nominating this black man to head the FAA. And while he was going through his confirmation, they was asking him questions. I don't even think this guy's got a pilot license. Itself. How in the world are you going to head the FAA and you don't even know how to fly yourself? And I have to take my hat off to that one agency. It is, par none, a very, very good, thorough agency. And I would hate to see it become the run-of-the-mill like some of the other things, like the U.S. Post Office, for instance. So this Biden administration with this social and equity that they're trying to pull off and hiring people based on the conditions that they came up through in life, the neighborhood that they lived in, was there gunshots in the neighborhood and all those crazy things, this is totally ridiculous. There's no way in the world that I would hire a candidate, an employee potential, if they came up through some of these means by which we're seeing people come up through today. Who could take that chance?
I agree. You know, it's It's financial and liability and the name of your company and whatnot. You can't just take people and say, okay, we need to fill in. We don't have the luxury of this illegitimate administration to just go ahead and put people as bookends for looks. You know, look at, you know, what we've got for the layup for the Biden administration. I mean, they're all the thems and everything in between. And it's, I would be embarrassed. I don't know, you know, I'd be embarrassed if I realized I was being used as just a checkbox for equity. Because I imagine a lot of those people, they thought they worked hard for a job, or maybe they got an underwater basket weaving college degree and knew the right people, you know, and got their door in, or they were the right gender or right, you know, skin tone or whatever. And when I hear, you know, this administration talking about equity and stuff, all I see is the old privileged rich white man in a big, huge white house with a bunch of colored and transgender people doing his deeds. So looks a lot like master and servant to me. So I don't know how he thinks he can be the face of equity. I think it's embarrassing to see him pontificate that I am the face of equity. They called what he said. He had a Polish name and one time, and then he's Irish too, and he was in Selma for Bloody Sunday, which I don't even think he was old enough.
Well, yeah, he's just such a pathological liar. It's just not even funny, and he always has been. But of course, you know.
I know, but it's embarrassing. He's another one of those checkmark things. Okay, we filled in the old white guy with dementia.
Like every week.
All right. Yeah, no, but for the equity thing, he checks the checkmark for the old white guy with dementia. All right, we had one of those in the house, so we're good with that. We don't have to do that again.
No doubt. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what, you know, that's what the handler is, a mentally incompetent president that, you know, all they have to do is pull his strings and he doesn't give them much pushback. All they got to do is, you know, stick a teleprompter in front of his face and he can read the lines he's supposed to say. And, you know, and literally his handlers tell him not to, you know, go off script, because every time he does, you know, more sputum comes out of his mouth. I mean, it's just, oh, gosh, you know, I really, 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 really am afraid of another 4 years of Biden. Like, really? He seriously is thinking that he's capable of running again. And he seriously thinks that he can continue on for another 4 years and do a full 8 years? I mean, like, come on, Democrats. You know, all you Democrat voters out of there voted for Biden initially because Trump. But now you defend him time and time and time again, anything and everything he says or does. I mean, come on now. Let's get realistic here. And it's a really, really scary thing to think of what Biden's mental state is going to be 3 years from now, 4 years from now, if he's, you know, given a second term. And the damage that he can do in his obviously declining mental capacity. It's really a scary thing. I mean, what else is he going to push? What's going to be the next virtue signaling thing that he does, whatever the trend happens to be.
Well, so for example, it's Women's History Month, like we were saying a little earlier, and last year, one of the women of the year was Rachel Levine. And, you know, Rachel Levine is a man. And he had a family and a wife and a life, and was a pediatrician and also a professor at Penn University, which that says it all. That's probably where the Biden administration's think tank scooped him up. And, you know, he was Woman of the Year last year. And then just a couple days ago, Dr. Jill, she awarded a International Women's Day award to a man. And I'm going to play this clip really quick. It's just a real quick one. And this is about it's Fox News, the Five talk about it. So it's just really quick, and we're going to hear what they have to say, and then we're going to come back and discuss it real quick.
First Lady Jill Biden catching some flack on International Women's Day.
Girls everywhere need to know that there are women fighting for them and winning, opening doors, transforming schools and communities and governments, building a better world for all of us.
Aww. So that was the First Lady presenting the Women of Courage Award to 11 recipients from around the world during a ceremony at the White House, including a transgender woman. Judge, you seem to not be able to hold back. Your reaction to the First Lady presenting a biological male from Argentina with an award for women on International Women's Day?
You know, I could be wrong, but I think this is cultural appropriation. I think that they're basically saying that men who want to become women are better at being women than women are. They're erasing, they're canceling women. And how sad that the Biden administration on International Women's Day actually has to find someone with a male organ to be a woman and celebrate that person as a woman. And on the same day, the U.S. came out saying that trans women can compete in the powerlifting, which is an outrage. I mean, they're basically canceling women. And I don't know who else was honored. I hear that Leah Thomas was honored. I hear that Rachel Levine was honored. What about real women? Why is it that they're looking at real women as not good enough? That the men who want to be women are better than we are. And it is hurtful. It is offensive. It erases the dreams of many women who have worked very hard to get to certain levels in sports. Mm. And it is crazy town in this country. It really is. And I want to say women matter and that this is politics at its worst.
Harold, what message is this sending? The internet exploded over this moment with one tweeting out, even men are better at being women than women now.
But I think that's one of the points that the judge is making. Look, I'm a believer in freedom and opportunity for everyone. And if you want, whomever you want to be, you ought to be able to be. But as a father of a young daughter who plays sports and is pretty good at sports for her age, and I hope continues to be, I'm not settled on this, the whole sports thing. I can't quite get my arms around how it's fair. To allow this kind of competition to go back and forth. I don't know the criteria for how the awards were given, but Judge, I think the questions that you raise are questions that deserve an answer.
Jesse?
Well, now that I think about it, I'm not really surprised that men are better at being women than women.
Oh, geez.
But so I looked into this person, Alba Rueda. She's an Argentinian activist for trans. You know what she did? She did affirmative action for trans in Argentina. The population of trans in Argentina is 0.1% of the population.
Wow.
And she passed a law that says 1% of all government jobs have to be trans. So trans are now way overrepresented in the government workforce in Argentina. And that's the only reason she got the award. And I'm going to leave it at
He's
that.
He's speechless. Greg.
Yeah, you know, you got to step back and realize, like, how artificial this compulsory acceptance has become. It's like, where did it come from? It's everywhere. And it wasn't like, you know, society got together and said, hey, you know what? Let's help out these trans people. That didn't happen. That statistic is ridiculous. It's absurd. And why? It's because it's a combination of fear of being called transphobic. And also, there's got to be money to be made. There has to be. Yeah. You know, Harold is getting at this point, which I think we all agree with, which is live and let live, right? We all embrace that. Right-wingers, libertarians want to be left alone. This isn't about being equal. This is about you must accept this and say things that aren't true to you. If you believe that that is not a real woman because it's not a biological woman and that it's more than a feeling that all of a sudden you decide that you're a woman, why can't I decide that I'm black? What if there were what if there was a movement that just started and all of a sudden it was like, you know, in sports or in pageants or wherever, suddenly people were identifying as black, we would go like, no, why is this different? Why is this different? Where did this trickle down from? Who made this decision? I'm just so curious about how all of a sudden in 5 years ago, it was you were born this way. Mm-hmm. Now you're in effect saying that's not true. Gays are not biologically gay. In fact, there's no such thing as homosexuality because there's no such thing as homosexuality?
Why?
Because you're fluid. And that means one day you can be gay and the other day you cannot be gay. And therefore, you can take a gay child and you can surgically change them to like women or men. You can just change their biology. It's insane.
Can I answer your question?
Yes, please.
There's a lot of money in these surgeries.
Definitely.
That's
definitely.
Why.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
A lot of money.
And for the record, we would accept you in the black community.
Why, thank you. Why, thank you.
I don't think we would.
You're 1% sub-Saharan African, aren't you?
0.1%.
All right. We will leave it there.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page.
All right. So that was a little roundtable there on that. And I thought that all the points were pretty, you know, valid. And whatnot. What do you guys think, Pianchi, Lorianne?
Man, I tell you, it's getting pretty nuts. It's really getting pretty nuts. That's what I think. You know, I think that. I think at the end of the clip, they made a really good point where it's like, why is a biological male that is a trans woman? And identify that way, why is that acceptable to just decide when changing your biology? And that's not allowed anywhere else. You know, I'm a white woman, but I can't identify as a black woman. I can't identify as black. I can't identify as Asian. I can't identify as Hispanic, you know, that is not my biology. You know, I'm biologically not any of those things. And I would be laughed, you know, I would be criticized. I would be shunned. I would be, you know, there would be hell to pay if I were to do something like that. But for whatever reason, it is allowed for you to contradictory when it comes to your gender. I don't understand it. I don't understand this.
Well, you know, what states should do, especially conservative states, they should put a hell of a surtax on transgender procedures. Okay, you want to have your organs restructured, and we're going to put a tax on that procedure. They can do that because didn't Obama do it with Obamacare for those that was going to the tanning parlors? They had to pay a surtax.
Yep, I remember that.
See, you got to fight these idiots the way they fight you. He had a surtax, and he called it a Cadillac plan that construction workers who forego putting money on the check and put it toward their health and welfare plans that covers their medical, it covers their dental, eyeglasses, and so on, so on, so on. So he called it a Cadillac plan, and he put a surtax on it. Well, then you have to do the same thing. If you want to have your penis removed or tucked or whatever they call that stuff, well, you're going to have to pay a 75% tax on it. That's going to go to whatever. Go to the betterment and the equity of the community. That's what we got to start thinking.
You know, and you know, that there, Pionki, like, made me think of something else. Maybe that is a good idea, and put that money in a fund, because I believe that when these people are Medicare age, their health problems are going to be very unique compared to other people on Medicare. So, you know, in the coming years, Medicare is going to have, you know, your regular geriatric, you know, care schedule, or, you know, fee schedule for stuff. But how do you care for a man who's removed his penis, and 30 years down the road, he has really unique, you know, medical issues due to prostate or whatever. So, I mean, or women who've, you know, mutilated themselves as well. What kind of problems are they going to have as geriatrics, and what kind of burden is that going to put on the taxpayers as a whole to take care of them under the regular Medicare, you know, providing we have Medicare in 5 years or 2 years or 1 year, you know. I think that's something that we've never really discussed, is what, and in that clip, you know, the one guy, he says, yeah, definitely the reason they're doing this is because of money. And we've discussed that before. Young kids, young, healthy kids, they don't generate a lot of money for the, you know, elite, or the, you know, the one world order, the depopulation, you know, agenda. But messed up kids that are convinced that they're the wrong gender, and they change genders, or as they change gender and then go back to their other gender, they're worth millions of dollars in a lifetime to these pharmaceutical companies and clinics. Millions of dollars. This is big money. And it's sad because, you know, you're seeing, you know, really push this kind of stuff is TikTok and social media and stuff. It seems to be an explosion of this stuff since COVID-19. There's always been transgender people in the community, and I have no problem with what people, adults, want to do. Just don't cancel me in the process. Just like I left you alone, leave women alone. Women didn't pick on you and stuff. You don't want to be picked on if you're transgender and stuff. Well, women don't like being canceled either. And men, they don't want to be villainized.
Well, suppose, you know, somebody like Hulk Hogan all of a sudden say he's a female and wants to participate in female wrestling and things like that. And how far is this mess going to go? You know, we used to hear this way before just recently, and we laughed at it. But I'd be doggone. Now it has came to be a reality, and people are dead serious on these things.
Yeah, like overnight. Just like I said, it's strange. It's just the last couple years, and it's by design. I believe that this is part of the breakdown of society. We saw it with the nuclear family. We really saw it in the African American family structure.
you know, between Planned Parenthood and high incarceration rates and whatnot, that was by design to destroy the Black American by the Democrats. That was designed by the Democrats. So public housing, slums, all of that, you know, projects by design of the socialist Democrats. And then, you know, go ahead, Pianchi.
You know, I was thinking of something else, because I've been thinking about this for a while. I write it down. But, you know, for a long time, they have used robots to take the place of real live human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to tax those robots at the same rate that they would tax an employee, a human being. They have to pay federal tax, state and local, pay Social Security, Medicaid, and it goes all into that pot. You got a robot that's working 24 hours. That's three shifts. That's three human beings that they should apply withholding tax on. Same thing with AI. If you got software that removes a human being, well, they need to tax that software at the rate that the human being that's no longer there would have paid toward the system. Because now they're without a job, and they're going to be calling upon the system at one point in time in order to help them. But the money's not there. So if the money's not there because they're no longer paying it, well, what did that mean? Well, it means that those that are working, they're going to have to take on additional burden to make up for those who are no longer paying into those pools. And local communities can do that. They can impose, you know, the city of St. Louis got what's called a earnings tax. So no matter if you live in the city, if you don't live in the city, and you're working in the city, you have to pay that earnings tax, which is 1% of your gross wages. So things like that need to be done. Hey, you can have your robots, and you still, actually, a manufacturer is going to come out ahead. The robot don't get sick. The robot, you don't have to pay work comp on a robot. There's no maternity leave on the robot.
That's brilliant. Yeah, no, no.
Well, you know
lawsuits.
Me, being libertarian. when I hear, you know, force more taxes on them, pay more taxes on them, I think we're creating a catch-22, because where does all that tax money go? To the government. We've already established that our government cannot handle its money. It cannot be trusted to manage the taxpayer dollars that they get now. So an increase of taxes on this and an increase of taxes on that is just feeding an already corrupt system more and more and more and more and more. And on top of that, when we're replaced by robots and things like that, and you increase the tax revenue by applying all these taxes, basically penalty taxes for companies using all these robots and stuff. I mean, I get the motivation, you know, to have kind of a punishment tax for that, but then it's also going to usher in more money for the government to have this universal basic income strategy and bring about this stuff even faster and even more too. So, I mean, I don't know what the solution is, but usually more taxes usually isn't the answer. Why? Because we see it in our education system, more and more of our tax dollars going to education. We need to give them more. We keep putting more money into these things, and look what we got. We have, you know, we're funneling more and more money into education and schools and getting less and less acceptable results from that. And that happens with every single facet of government. And so the last thing I really want to do is give government even more money, even as a penalty tax, because they don't know how to manage it. You know, so, you know, I don't know what the solution is to that, but other than people standing up to it, people going, hey, I am not going to eat at McDonald's anymore because they are replacing people with machines and robots. I'm not going to shop at Walmart anymore because it's all self-checkout and they're not hiring even checkout clerks anymore. I'm not, you know, I think that the better solution is for people to wake up and resist these things and force corporations to actually hire human beings to do the job as much as possible. I mean, you know, in some ways, technology is our friend. I mean, look at the automobile industry. We're able to mass produce cars like crazy because it's so automated using machinery instead of human hands. You know, and so if you want to see what the future looks like in just about every facet and just about every segment of our economy and of our and our job market, just look at what's happened with the automotive industry, replacing humans with robotics, and that's the future that we're looking at. And so we just have to start resisting that and going, hey, no, you know, I am not going to spend my consumer dollars purchasing anything from your company because you are moving away from employing actual human beings and using robots instead.
Well, it's going to have to be twofold. It just can't be one thing. It's going to have to be several things going on at more than one time because I tell you, it's just got totally. Well, look at the minimum wage. They raised the minimum wage. You got the federal minimum wage. They raised that, what, $15 an hour or something like that, 20. Well, how much of that has been eaten up with the increase in the cost of cereal, eggs, milk, meat, bacon? I mean, how much of it are they, have they broke even or are they further behind? Look how long gasoline was, $5 a gallon after Joe Biden got elected. And now it's starting to come back down. Well, the damage has been done. But those that was chomping at the bits for a minimum wage increase, calling it a livable wage, well, their job has been eliminated through the advent of more technology to take your orders. And it kind of reminds me of those vending machines. You put 50 cents in the machine, and you press chicken noodle soup, and a cup pops down, and hot water flows into the cup, then two or three tablespoons of a powder, and there's your chicken soup. So all that who've been hollering about increasing minimum wage has been ate up. It's been ate up. It's gone. The price increase on everything else has ate it up. Now you either back where you were or worse. And now they also are talking about making affordable housing. What are they talking about when they say affordable housing? It takes X number of dollars to build a structure. What are they going to do? Less half the quantity of material that they're going to use in the structure? They're going to come up with something else. They're going to use in the walls empty liter bottles for whatever reason rather than having regular brick material. So what do they mean by affordable housing? I mean, how are you going to cut the house, price of a house in half for somebody to buy? But what happens when they go and get ready to sell at home? What is their value is going to be at? What about the maintenance? They're going to have the same amount of maintenance, heat, water. Now they want to get rid of the gas stove.
Insurance.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because I don't think when they say housing, affordable housing, I think they're talking about, you know, these 15-minute cities. That's the type of stuff they're going to build. They're going to build, you know, they're going to redo the slums, the projects. And in just a different place. Yeah. We saw how well that's worked
in New York and we in Detroit and, you know, different big cities around the country. You know, mass housing, thousands and thousands of apartments and, you know, in a few city blocks. And the density is not good. Historically, it just doesn't work out.
And that's exactly what they're planning for. And that's what they want. The 15-minute cities, they want to, you know, which that benefits them. The more people cannot afford to actually buy a home, the better off for them. Why? Because then that's more land that they can get. You know, they'll demolish the homes and keep the land and plunder the land for whatever it is, you know, more GMO farming and stuff like that. You know, like I said, I can't help but see everything gearing more and more toward this universal basic income kind of crap. And it's like, you know, we're going to live in, you know, 900 square foot apartments. You know, if you're a family with two or three kids, you'll get your 900 square foot apartment. It's a massive, you know, apartment complex, and you'll be happy about it, right? If you're single, then you'll only get, you know, a 400 square foot. If you're, you know, they're going to assign all of this, and then of course, everybody, and I like what you said, this condensing the population into, you know, huge, large amounts of people confined in a small space. They already know. There have been psychological studies on what happens when there's too many human beings confined together in a small space. We're seeing it play out more and more even now in big cities. Human beings become more violent. They become more depressed. They become more mentally unstable. They become, you know, more and more drug addicted. These studies have already been done and they're banking on it. They want this chaos, because that way the government doesn't have to kill us directly. We'll just keep killing each other, and the depopulation agenda is underfoot, and they're all happy about it.
Well, you got people now complaining about... Go ahead, Zoe.
Oh, it's easier to lock. I'm sorry. It's easier to lock people down and control them in those, you know, dense situations like that. When you got high density like that, we saw it, you know, in China, what they did to those people. You know, they just locked them in their neighborhoods, you know, welded their doors shut to the big buildings and said, there you go. There you have it. Way easier to control.
And well, it's even more convenient when there's a fire and all the doors are locked so nobody can get out. And so they, you know, so then they die out that way. You know, that's really convenient too.
I agree.
Well, they got these urban areas that just have went to pot.
The people in China to finally rise up and protest against all of that crap. I'm still amazed by that it had to go that far before the Chinese people finally started to defy their government.
Well, maybe if they had Second Amendment rights, it would have been a little bit different.
Oh, you're right on, spot on there.
Well, I'll tell you things now, they're really messed up. You got all these crazy people out on the street. At the same time, they don't want you to have the ability to protect yourself. Then if you got the ability to protect yourself, you got to have insurance, because if you are found not guilty criminally, then they want to sue you civilly. It's just
exactly.
Gotten completely out of control.
You know, and it's all about the narrative too. It's not even based on facts. It's the law is, I'm not saying the law is based on feelings, but how we're seeing rulings and interpretation of the law by the justices and these DAs that are appointed by Soros. Everything's, judged by feelings or interpretation or their truth.
Well, what's going to happen next is these trans going to be suing you because a straight male won't dance with them or have sex with them. Watch and see. Wild as it sounds, watch
agree.
And see.
I agree. He broke off the engagement when he found out I used to be a man I was anatomically a man. I'm still a man, but, the other thing.
Yeah,
he wouldn't buy
me a drink. He was buying the other women. He wouldn't buy me one. He's discriminating against me.
Yep. The time of being canceled. So, yeah, it's insane. I was hoping to talk a little bit about the J6 videos that have come out. I know a lot of people have seen clips and stuff from some of them. I know a lot of people haven't seen as well, myself included, as much as I was hoping to see by now. But it is a lot of video. But why I wanted to discuss it was, and I've wondered this before, and I know Lorianne and I have talked about this probably last year or even further back than that, was why, that there's, video surveillance all over the Capitol. Why has that not been used to by the defenders, the people that are defending the defendants or the prosecutors to rule their case? And it's been mind-boggling for me because these people are the prisoners, J6 prisoners, have had zero recourse. They got scooped up, and that's that. No bail, no nothing. Go to jail, no pass, go. And these judges thus far that have done sentencing and or held people in prison all this time till their sentencing have declared these people dangerous things. Are not judges like responsible to do the due diligence to make sure that all parties constitute that of the state and the government's rights are being preserved and that too of the defendant? These people have had no constitutional recourse at all. No way of what am I looking for the word? Protest this. And up until now, none of the defendants have been able to use video footage to prove their innocence. And at the same time, they've been, on the other side of it, they've been proven, guilty or, dangerous without these judges seeing any evidence. So, for example, the QAnon shaman, Jacob Tansley, he was just now sentenced, and he got 41 months in prison. And the same judge that did his intake was the same judge that, ended up hearing the rest of the case. And right from the get-go, U.S. District Judge Royce Lambert said he believes Jacob Chansley is genuine in his remorse, but found his actions on January 6th horrific. How can he find anything if all he heard was hearsay?
And only shown, only shown the videos, very selective videos. That's all they saw. Six can be, only very select video was allowed. And of course, it was only, only video that doesn't show a good look, right? And twist it around and purposely clip.
But Lorianne,
to
that's,
create
impression. That's the January.
Yeah.
That's the January 6th committee. That's not the judges that are hearing these cases. These judges are prosecutors. Nobody's seen this stuff. And they may have seen social media videos of Jacob. Exactly. Nobody has seen the full video.
Keep all of that footage locked up so that the defense attorneys and the judges don't even know that that footage exists, number one. You can't ask for something that you don't know exists. And so, this guy, this guy gets sentenced, or you have these people that are coerced into taking plea deals. And it's just such a massive injustice that's been done. It completely undermines the whole concept of innocent until proven guilty, undermines the whole concept of being a defendant, being able to defend yourself, to have the ability to get evidence that can exonerate you, or evidence that will lower your sentence. This is all designed to do exactly what it's done. It's really outrageous. It's so outrageous how these people have been treated.
Look at the chairman of the committee.
To even talk with attorneys, extended length of time being detained, bypassing every single concept of our Bill of Rights. It's just absolutely sickening. And that this is just the beginning. If they can do this to people on January 6th, they're gonna, like a tree branch, they're gonna stretch it out and try to apply the same kind of treatment to just about anybody. They're gonna go after gun owners this harshly that do nothing but, I'm just concealed carrying without a permit, They can go after people like that the same way. Lock them up in jail. You're going to be considered a domestic terrorist, and you can be detained indefinitely without counsel. They can start applying it to just about any kind of any segment of the population they want.
Well, what's interesting is with Chansley. I'm sorry, Pianchi, real quick. Was prosecutors had asked the Judge Lambert to sentence the U.S. Navy veteran to 51 months behind bars, saying that his conduct was deeply troubling and that such a sentence would serve as a warning to others who would seek to interfere with the peaceful transfer of the presidential office in the future. And I've said that time and time again, is that this has been done to squash any idea of Pianchi, Lorianne, Dahl, don't you even think of going and filing your grievances or speaking your grievances on the Capitol steps, because you too will be imprisoned. Pianchi, I'm going to hand it to you.
Well, hell, just look at the person who headed the committee. Benny Thomas from Mississippi, black congressman, who was sympathetic to a black suffrage group, so I understand, called the Republic of New Africa, New Republic of Africa, where they stated that they wanted five southern states for blacks. and that group ended in, was involved in shootouts with police in Philadelphia. So how do he get to be a chairperson over the January 6th incident committee with the type of background that he has? I mean, it's got to be a whole lot of bias going on there. And like you say, these judges just got completely out of control, too. I don't know what to say.
Yes, they have.
I know what to say, but I ain't going to say it. I know what to say, but I'm not going to say it. I'm sure everybody else know what to say, too.
And again, I go back to taxes.
Nobody's
this is what our taxes
anything.
Are paying for. And which is why I don't want to give any more taxes to our government when this is what our tax money is going for, you know. For this kind of injustice, corrupt judges, corrupt politicians, corrupt, you know, committees, corrupt Congress, corrupt Senate, corrupt president.
You know, exactly. So essentially, you know, Chansley was the shaman dude was tried by media. And his constitutional rights were thrown out the window. He's had no regress, no way of addressing these things or proving his innocence. And, you know, there was just recently, New York City has decided to pay a lawsuit to these protesters that were out there doing the George Floyd thing. And they accused the police of a tactic called kettling. It's K-E-T-T-L-I-N-G. And it's when you push protesters into an area where you can confine and better control them. And it's usually done with large, unruly crowds. But what I saw, and I've seen in past video footage that we've seen prior to the Capitol footage, was that that's what happened. When, like, when Chansley was taken through the halls of Congress and stuff, and these police opened the doors to the protesters, Capitol, police had prematurely shot off tear gas. Tear gas is the irritant. If you're not used to it, you're going to run anyway the opposite direction of that tear gas. You may not even know where you're going because you can't see. And I'm wondering how many people rushed into that building just to get away from the mayhem outside. And they were kettled into it.
Yep.
You know, by the police. By the doors were opened by them, and behind them is a surging crowd and tear gas and a lot of noise. And it's like, that would be a safe place to hide or go inside. And once these people got inside, they're just like, you know, doot, 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 doot. I saw some clips that like had mall music playing, you know, with the surveillance stuff. It's people taking pictures and chatting and selfies and then walking back out.
So, even footage of one of them, like, picking up clutter, like a sign that got knocked over, and the guy just picks up the sign and puts it back in place again. You know?
Yeah.
Like that.
Saw that.
It's like,
too.
Oh, yeah, that's what insurrectionists do. Yeah.
Yeah, and how many of those, how many of the outside crowd were FBI agents that agitate and spur on people into their frenzy behavior?
Yeah, there was a video clip that, you know, Tucker played of a suspicious person that has never been identified, never arrested, obviously wearing an earpiece, dressed all, you know, basically in black, smashing the windows And then once he realized that he was being filmed, then steps away, pushes another person in front of him, and starts blaming that other person for breaking the window and stuff. And that's very suspicious. That to me does, you know, looks like a total, you know, setup right there. And that person has yet to be identified. I think on purpose. I think that, you know, I think somebody knows who that person is, and that person is probably being protected. And to be wearing an earpiece and everything, to me, says that's either FBI, you know, that's probably FBI. You know, it's the only other people that wear earpieces like that with, you know, the with the curly tubes and stuff are like media or journalists. And I don't really think it was a journalist that was busting that window. And then blaming it on, you know, the guy right next to him type of thing.
Oh, yeah, well, they came by the busload.
Yeah, and, Dawg, look at this group that was apprehended there in Atlanta trying to start a riot. And how many of them was from outside the country. Remember I told you?
Yeah.
Some 500 some odd riots in the last few years. You've seen a lot of whites in the crowd. In the middle of July, they was pale as ghosts, no tan or nothing. You know those people weren't from the United States. And lo and behold,
yep,
when they identify these people that tried to start this riot in Atlanta because the city is building a training center for its police, heck, majority of the crowd wasn't even from the United States. Or either they were from out of state, and then if they're from out of state, how did you know they're from the state that they were coming from? That's the same way it was in Ferguson. You can look at the people, those in the know, have seen crowds before. You don't recognize any of these people. And another point, the day after the shooting, you got vendors on the street with Mike Brown T-shirts and caps already made up. My goodness, that's awful fast.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they're all on the payroll. You know, they're getting paid for it.
You know, and when you were talking about, you know, the kettling, I kind of had a flashback to Kenosha and what happened, you know, surrounding like Kyle Rittenhouse case. And that's exactly what they were doing. The police corralled all of these protesters right along, you know, the street where Kyle Rittenhouse was and the people that he was with that were armed and protecting those businesses. And so I'm just so reminded of that. Like, you know, how much did that contribute to the whole situation that happened in Kenosha by doing that?
Oh, it's huge. And it's a common practice. And it came to light, it came to mind because, you know, like I said, in New York, they are actually paying a class action suit by these protesters, people that were out doing George Floyd, BLM, burn it up stuff. And New York City is paying them a settlement. And it's, I don't know. It is, it was quite a bit of money. It's millions of dollars. So, yeah, so March 1st in New York City has agreed to pay several million dollars to settle a lawsuit brought by protesters who say they were assaulted, abused, and trapped by police using a technique known as kettling at a demonstration in the wake of the George Floyd's killing. In court papers late Tuesday, the city said it will pay $21,500 to each of at least 200 protesters who were detained, arrested or met with force by police during the June 4, 2020 protest in the Bronx. The city said it will also pay $21,500 per plaintiff for legal costs and an extra $2,500 to protesters who were detained, protesters who were given court appearance tickets, meaning the bill from the class action lawsuit could be close to $10 million or more. So I think that, you know, what happened, a lot of what happened there at the Capitol was completely orchestrated, planned, you know, and whatnot. But why, you know, nobody's talking about that. And it really does. It just really drives me crazy that none of these public defenders or private attorneys or anybody that says, hey, insisted on that Capitol footage, the surveillance footage itself. Even that, though, at the chain of custody and who's been in control of all of that, I don't know if I would trust it. You know, if my life depended on it, we know that it's been edited and everything else. It should have been confiscated in a chain of custody, you know, as evidence. All of that video footage was evidence of a crime or of a alleged crime, if they were going to go, or alleged innocence, depending on which, you know, side you're on.
And, you know, another thing,
and we
too,
also can't – oh, go ahead.
You know, another thing, too, that correlates with this. You're always hearing these black activists saying, well, they won't let our kids study their history. Well, you're not letting people study these tapes that were proved that this so-called coup and insurrection really was not there. Same thing. It's an injustice what's going on. Everyone that's locked up and been locked up because of this January 6th stuff, they need to receive reparation.
I agree. And that's
absolutely
one I can stand behind.
Yeah, exactly. They are directly victims of all of this. And we can't forget, they are victims of Pelosi. Pelosi deliberately did not do her job. They knew that there was going to be a huge number of people protesting. They knew that they could have and should have prepared enough police forces, National Guard, whatever they needed to make sure that that building was secure. And she failed to do that. And nobody wants to point to Pelosi. Nobody wants to put blame on her when it was her responsibility to do it. And, you know, they were asking, there's interviews with Capitol Police going, hey, you know, are we going to get the support? We're asking for all this additional support, and they're not getting any responses back. Pelosi knew that this was happening, and she let it happen deliberately. And nobody wants to say it. All of these people that are so convinced that this was like, you know, this insurrection, this rioting was the worst thing, you know, since the Civil War or 9/11 or whatever. All of these people that are so condemning January 6th the most are the very people that absolutely refuse to hold the person that was responsible for security of the Capitol that day accountable, and that's Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi,
yes,
and Bauer, the D.C. mayor, they need to be in the history books. They need to be in the history books with their picture and bio and everything else explaining how notorious they were for January 6th. The mayor was requested of her to seek National Guard help, and she refused. That needs to be in the history books. That needs to be your critical race theory.
Because, you know, what I'm seeing is that, you know, Nancy Pelosi knew that those proceedings could not go through because somehow the evidence would be brought to light freshly. And we never did get to finish those proceedings. They just kind of went away. Everybody just said, okay, Biden's the president. We give up. And why was Nancy Pelosi talking to Ray Epps a week before January 6th? Now, that was just recently uncovered or revealed. Phone records showing that she was in contact with Ray Epps. So this was orchestrated, planned, and everything else by her. She's ghost. I haven't seen hide nor hair of her since these surveillance videos were released.
All that information should be made available in the history books for middle school and high school students. Should be mandatory in public schools. Exactly.
The unedited version, because they've been in control of it this whole time. You know, treating it like their own personal property. No, that's we the people. That's our evidentiary, you know, property, evidence that government, those that were in control of that capital, did this on purpose. And the wrong people are in jail. The wrong people are being penalized. Shouldn't be, you know, these patriots sitting there rotting with no bail, no way to prove themselves innocent. And the reason, like I said earlier, is so that people wouldn't push back. People would go, well, I can't, no, don't go. They'll take you to jail and you won't ever get out. And we're no better than China at this point. We keep this up, we're no better than China. People need to push back. And I pray to God that this is a turning point for, you know, this investigation and to repatriate these people back to their families and their communities and get
right.
them the hell out of prison.
It should be movies on it, like you had the movie on Martin Luther King's Letters from a Birmingham mm-hmm. Jail. It should be January 6th, Letters from a D.C. Jail.
Amen. You know, and these guys, there's been suicides and everything else. And this whole narrative that a bunch of police officers died because of the blatant lies. And we know how the media lies, and we know how Democrats lie. And these people were tried on by the media. And what the media told these judges and prosecutors and stuff could make out from this committee and the media. All both biased sources of information, hearsay, third party. I mean, this has been a kangaroo court from the beginning, and nobody, I know that, you know, we've talked about it and stuff and everything, but still, at the same time, yeah, no justice, and it's just to inhibit all of us from, you know, standing against government.
And boy, does that ever work out so well for our government, you know, and make sure that we the people uh-huh. are so fearful of our government that we're afraid to stand against them no matter what they do, no matter what injustices they do. You know, everybody in government has in effect qualified immunity against anything that they do because people are so afraid to stand up against it. That's a repeated lesson that we've learned over the last, you know, 3 years or so.
well,
we've emboldened. Oh, we've emboldened this illegitimate administration to no end just by not pushing back, by not going back January 7th. We emboldened
Absolutely.
Them to give away trillions of dollars, billions of dollars to Ukraine, weapons here and there. We've got war on all sides. I mean, we're heading to war. And this
Absolutely.
And by us not showing up. Yeah. Go ahead.
And you got press conferences bragging on how they're going to save $1 trillion over the next 10 years, while at the same time increasing the debt by $20 trillion over the next 10 years. But it don't just stop there, y'all. Now the danger of losing your life is being on a commercial airline during turbulence, and especially if you are the associate of the Clintons. Was the story about this lady that was associate of the Clintons some way or another? The jetliner that she was on, all buckled up and everything, experienced some turbulence, and she ends up dead? What the hell?
Wow.
That's one I haven't even heard of yet. I got to remind myself to look that up.
Yeah, me either. They're getting creative.
You don't have, I know you've had more than two Clinton associates all of a sudden disappear between the time of Jeffrey Epstein and this latest lady. I think her name is Hayden, but I'm not sure. I mean, it's hard to keep up with this damn stuff. You need a computer with 4 or 5 terabytes of memory in order to keep up with all this stuff that goes on.
Yeah, the Arkanside. I've been Arkanside.
Yeah, there's that, you know, story too that recently happened that guy that was I don't have the article in front of me at the moment. Yeah, his death is committed is that it was intentional, but he was found being hung with a gunshot, you know, and so he hung himself apparently and shot himself with a gun. And then the gun was something like 25 or 30 feet away. And it's like, wait, how does that happen?
Exactly.
How does one manage to do that? I'm completely baffled. I need to see some kind of, you know, scientific forensic recreation of how somebody commits suicide like that.
Yeah, no, it's, the mounting death count. But, yeah, so I guess, you know, the lesson is that next time, if there's another January 6th, we need to be there on January 7th, January 8th, January 9th, every day until there's no more of us or no more of them left, however that may play out. But what happened, it will be, like Pianki said, a part of the history books. And not a good part, not a good pinnacle of our history. And I pray to God that we all learn from this experience, you know, right down to an innocent, unarmed woman being gunned down in cold blood right there on the steps of We the People's house. That's not Nancy Pelosi's home. That's not,
Absolutely.
You know, AOC's house.
And in the history book, make sure you put the picture of the cop, the Capitol cop that killed her.
Yeah, don't make him a hero. You know, they basically made a hero out of a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
We show them how to make some critical race theory studies.
Yeah, the optics aren't good, but the fact that, you know, she is white and he is black and he's alive and she's dead, well, just doesn't fill in the equity checkboxes.
It don't fill in the equity check boxes. You're absolutely right.
You know, and that's just a crying shame, because regardless, you know, if it was a person of color laying there dying, unarmed, shot, that's still that person's house, the people's house. And so, maybe there wouldn't have been outrage, because I've seen black conservatives or black patriots being called racist anyways by the left. They can't win, you know, so many times. And they're like, whoa, wait, I'm black.
Well,
so you're racist.
Look at this restaurant in Pennsylvania, I think it is, that had a drink. One called Negro and one called Caucasian. Everybody get all upset over it. And employees want to quit. But when you had the one incident where the Christian group had scheduled a dinner meeting at one restaurant, and all the employees, some of them was gay, said they wouldn't want to, they was afraid for their lives. Christians are going to come in.
Oh, insane. Not Christians. Oh, they're going to beat me with their Bibles. You know,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I'd rather have a whole group of Christians coming into my restaurant than a whole group of Antifa. That's for danger.
Yeah, amen. 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 Oh, my goodness. So weird.
Yeah, it's getting kind of late.
Pinky.
Well, I was just going to say, until you go back after these leftists, like they go after you, that's what you got to do to them. Give them a taste of their own medicine. I think it's starting to happen, but we have to see just to what extent. But anyway, it's getting late. Bad moon rising.
Yes, well, Pinky, thanks. Yeah. Well, it's the waning moon. Well, it is bad moon rising. It's all going away. But I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I can't stay down
Me
with
too.
All this crap going on.
I know we barely touched the tip of the iceberg either, have we?
Yeah, usually that's the case. But I'll talk to you guys later. Look, Donnie will be on tomorrow at 8 o'clock, so. We'll pick it up there. You guys be careful and save up some of those good Alaskan stories so that it can hold us captive on the end of our seats.
Okay, I will. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Pinky. Lorianne, we want to definitely hear about your show on Sunday.
Yes, all of you out there listening, let's regroup on Sunday night for Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne. And then Dahl and I switch roles, and she sits in the co-host chair. I have a feeling that we will talk some more about the January 6th tapes that we brushed on. Definitely.
Yeah, we have clips.
You know, International Women's Day stuff. Kind of some continuation of our discussion here tonight. But, of course, there's also a few other news items that I plan on discussing as well. And, you know, of course, there's plenty of clips to play, but I don't want it to be quite as clip-centric as it was last week. But, yeah, so we got a great show. So Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne, Sunday night, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Definitely tune in for that and call in. And then I usually call into Donnie's show Beyond the Mainstream on Saturday night, same time, 6 p.m. Pacific. So, you know, that's always a good show as well. So it's just so much to talk about. You know, 2 hours goes by so fast with you, Dahl, that we never really get to all things that we want to get to. And so I hope to be able to kind of have a continuation of tonight's show, but then also get into some other topics and news as well.
I agree. Okay, well, it was just a great show. It was wonderful having Pinky call in. And, yeah, we didn't get to even touch half of the clips that we had downloaded and researched for tonight's show. So, yeah, a lot of great conversation. And that's what I like about, you know, having an unscripted show is, you know, we do some show prep, but at the same time, when you have live call, you know, call-ins and stuff, you got to be flexible. And that's what it's all about. So it was a nice, relaxing evening.
Yes, exactly. And then you can get back to your family. I know we're not going to go into overtime tonight because you got some precious family time that you need to get to. So, you know, I'm glad that you're able to have that time. It's been a while since you've been able to because you've been so busy with the house rebuild and everything going on there. So, time just flew by, and I look forward to Sunday night with you. Hopefully you can make it. I don't know, when your travels are or whatever, so hopefully there won't be a conflict for you to join me on Sunday night, but if there is, I'll totally understand.
Yeah, I'm hoping not. So we're just watching weather windows and whatnot, so kind of one of those things. It's a sketchy flight. It's beautiful when it's beautiful, but when it's sketchy, it's sketchy. And folks, it is a daylight savings time coming up, so tomorrow night, don't forget to set your clock ahead an hour. Good
yeah
grief.
If you still have actual clocks that don't auto adjust themselves.
Oh, that's true.
But be prepared
to lose
an hour of sleep.
And Cindy, I see you in chat. Thank you so much for tuning in. You guys have a great show tomorrow night, Donnie's show. And hopefully, maybe if I can try, I'll tune into that tomorrow night. So we're just about out of time, everybody. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much, Lori Ann. Love you as always. And everybody out there listening, tune in next Friday, Alaska Patriot Network, same place, same time. And just want to say God bless all of you. And just do not comply. Push back and stand your ground. So until next Friday, this is the Alaska Patriot Network, and we're signing out.
Good night.